The text is the gospel reading from St. Mark. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath.'" Do you want to be saved by the law? What a stupid question, right? Who thinks he can be saved by the law? I do. That's why I get defensive when the law exposes my sins or even shortcomings. That's why I make promises to keep the law better when guilt stalks me. You know what they say? The only cure for a true hypochondriac is having a real disease. The only cure for wanting to be saved by the law is trying. It will take a trip to the grain field to do that. Go ahead, try to be saved by keeping the law. Make a list of all you should do and check away. You'll feel great as you do. "I did this, I did this, and I did that too." The Pharisees in the grain field were list people. They regarded the keeping of God's law so highly that they listed extra ways to protect it. They made laws more stringent than God himself. And if you broke one of them, well, then you were guilty of breaking God's law. For the Sabbath day, they listed 39 other things that you could not do so you wouldn't break the Sabbath. Baking, separating two threads, writing two letters, lighting a fire, putting out a fire. They were all on the list, and so was reaping. Aren't lists great? No baking, no sewing, no writing, no reaping. Check, check, and check. We don't have the list of the Pharisees, but we have our own, which if we keep, we pronounce ourselves clean before God. And our checklist doesn't even have to be divine things. It can be walking the dog, taking out the trash, playing with the kids, staying positive, exercising regularly. List keeping will get you a good way through the grain field without the Pharisees shouting, "Why are you doing what is unlawful?" But eventually, they will. And when your list keeper fails you, your defense attorney kicks in. This is the lawyer who asked Jesus, "Just who is my neighbor?" after he had admitted that the law required him to love his neighbor as himself. The law can't convict you of worry, greed, lust, or hurting your neighbor because you're not worrying, you're just concerned. You're not greedy, you're just planning for the future. You're not lusting, you're appreciating. You're not hurting your neighbor, you're just letting him experience the consequences of his action or inaction. Now, if your lawyer fails, your last option is the pole vaulter. He lowers the bar of the law so you can get over it. As long as you don't actually do the deed, no harm, no foul. So lusting after a woman isn't adultery, and being angry at your neighbor isn't murder. But it was in this very context that Jesus said, "Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, you can't be saved." So you can be saved by keeping the law. Just not the laws you lower, excuse, or check off by your standards. You expect me to go to the gospel now, but you're not ready. Back to the grain field for you. If you're trying to be saved by the law, eventually you'll come to a place where you are pinned between two. Now everyone recognizes this. Pharisees never get pinned between two. Broken sinners always do. The Pharisees never recognized that David was confronted with the law that obligated him to care for his men, and the law that said consecrated bread could only be eaten by priests. Have you ever been here? You have if you're living under the law. The law of obeying your employer and the law of keeping promises made to your kids. the law of keeping the third commandment or keeping your job, honoring your father and mother and keeping other commitments you made. Feel the pinch? Feel the need to come to rest on one law or the other so you can at last feel better? The Pharisees never felt pinched between two laws because they believed they kept them all. That is what has them on the Sabbath watching Jesus traipse through a grain field. Don't you find that odd? This is like the time in the synagogue where they watched Jesus just to see if he would break their Sabbath law and heal a crippled man that they had planted there. If you feel no pinch, you can go right on living with your checklist, your defense attorney, and your pole vaulter. But Jesus in the grain field wants to pinch you hard so that you feel it. God didn't give any law to save you. This is contrary to what many Christians believe. God wouldn't give us laws we couldn't keep. I mean, I don't purposely give my kids rules that I know they can't keep. Oh, yes, you do. If you're trying to prove to them they can't do something, you command the kid to carry the 10-pound sack of potatoes to prove to him he can't carry your 4-liter bottle of sangria. Besides, God himself says he never gave a law to save anyone because there is not one. Galatians 3:21. If a law had been given which was able to impart life, then righteousness would indeed have been based on the law. Galatians 2:21 is even more important. It doesn't just say that God gave no such law, but if one had been given, then Jesus came into the world, kept the law, and died for our not keeping it for nothing. Quote, if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. But this bounces off you if you're not being pinched in the grain field. If you don't see Jesus points out what David did to challenge the Pharisees' understanding of God's law, if you think you're not guilty of breaking the law but other people are, you're not coming out of that grain field with salvation. You're the Pharisee who prays with no sense of irony or guilt, God, I thank you I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like that tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get. Can you see yourself? I can see me. The praying Pharisee is that person who thinks he keeps the law by being in church when he is assigned to do something. He's the person who yawns, stretches, and goes back to sleep when the pastor is on vacation and sees no sin here. The praying Pharisee is the pastor who acts one way when he's in a clerical collar and another way when he's in a t-shirt and he sees no sin in it. He is the person who believes being a Christian is a pay-as-you-go deal. You pay for as much as you use, and as long as you pay, it doesn't matter if you use anything at all. Back to the grain field for us. Paul very plainly tells you what the purpose of God's law is, if it's not to save you. It's a teacher to lead you to Jesus. Let's sprinkle in a little of the grain field here. Does a teacher exist for the sake of the students, or do the students exist for the sake of the teacher? We don't say, well, there's a teacher, better get him some students. No, teachers serve students. Likewise, God did not create men for the sake of the law, but he created the law for the sake of men, to lead them to Jesus. Here's where those who can live, have lived, and are relatively happy living under the law get jittery. The teacher only has authority over a student till he leads him to a diploma. The law only has authority over you till it leads you to Jesus. It does that by heaping and piling laws on you that you can't keep. It does that by bringing you to places where the law pinches you on both sides and there is no way to come away with a clear conscience based on keeping the law. Only the Son of Man can give that to you here. In Jesus, all the laws are kept. Go on, list every one of them you can think of. Not just the Ten Commandments, but all those man-made checklists, all the laws you bring in a defense attorney to get you out from under, and all those laws that the pole vaulter lowers so you can get over them. As true man, Jesus lived the perfect life that Pharisees only think they do. Go ahead, dig around in his deeds. No sin there. Dig around in Jesus' actions. No sin there. Dig around in Jesus' thoughts and words, and you won't find the slime, grime, and crime you can find in yours. Keep walking in the grain field, not as a Pharisee, but as Jesus' disciple. Groomsmen and bridesmaids can't have dour faces in the presence of the groom, can they? By the way, God's law specifically said that you could walk through the grain field of your neighbor and eat to satisfy your appetite. But the Pharisees had taken all the joy out of God's grain field and left only got to, have to, and hunger. Stop. You're about to conclude. So, the disciples were keeping the law. Then why doesn't Jesus go there? Why doesn't he simply quote the Bible saying they could do what they were doing? Because he wants to lead the Pharisees not to the law, but to him, the Son of Man, who is Lord of all laws. In the presence of the Lord, who not only kept all the laws, but paid the price for the breaking of them, drip by bloody drip, drop by sweaty drop, tear by salty tear, in the presence of this one, the law is done with you. The law has no power over you. Now you're really afraid. You're ready to run out of that grain field. But if you leave without Jesus, you're running with the law still on your back, and back your list, back your lawyer, and back your pole vaulter. And back to certain judgment. For you can't keep the law perfectly. Chew on these passages to slow you down. Romans 10:4. Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Galatians 2:19. Through the law I died to the law, so that I might live for God. Romans 6:7. He that is dead is freed from sin. Romans 7:4. You also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to him who raised him from the dead. You see a theme there? Either dead under the law, or dead to the law in Christ. Either you answer the law's accusations by pointing to what Jesus did and how Jesus died, or you try to fend them off with your list, your lawyer, and pole vaulter. You either come out of that grain field on the back of the Lord Jesus Christ or with the law on your back. You come out either condemned by the law or saved by Jesus. You come out thinking you're saved because you don't have a single grain on you. Or you come out with two handfuls of grain and a clear conscience. Because your holiness, your salvation, your standing under the law is not based on what you do or don't do, but on what Jesus did and does. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.